electric. And because we'll be turning to some other scriptures. You know, I was thinking, and I didn't mention this last week, but some of the things that we've been looking over the past several weeks, and just and looking at, you know, what we have and who we are and the things that we have in store for us. And I was talking with Stefan, I can't remember when, but recently. And when you consider the incredible care, the amazing work that went into the heaven and earth that we live in. You know, the other night was with some folks and we were talking about flowers. All the different colors, the variations. I mean, in one flower alone, we're talking a flower here. And when you take all of this and the work that went into it, and God says it was for man, what do you think the next heaven and earth is going to be like? The work and the care, you know? And the only thing that is going to be salvaged from this heaven and earth is man, mankind. Isn't that amazing? That's our God. That's our God. And today, we're going to look at this time here, going back to that day of Pentecost, when something brand new happened. Something new was instituted, and it was the beginning of something that God wanted to do. I've shared this before, but you know, Jesus Christ accomplished all that was necessary in his sacrifice and in paying the price for mankind. And God had the right at that time to carry out judgment. But he didn't. He chose not to. Mm-hmm. And his kingdom, rather than beginning with judgment, begins with grace, great grace. Isn't that something? And so this time that we're looking at, and I love chapter one, I love chapter two as much, but chapter one, I think about this and what this must have looked like and these men, what was going through their hearts, through their minds. And I'm going to endeavor just to share a little bit of that this morning, okay? So we're going to begin in verse one. And it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. This is referring, of course, to the Gospel of Luke. And it's kind of neat because it's that gospel ends with his ascension of that which Jesus began both to do and to teach. And really, as you go through the book of Acts, you see how Jesus Christ continues to do and to teach. It's pretty neat. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now these were the 12. There were 12 that were with him, 12 apostles that he chose, which means Judas would have been among them. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, his sufferings, his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Because of the resurrection, and in his resurrection body, he was preparing these men for the onset of the kingdom of God. When you look back into the Gospels, you know, they open up at the beginning of his ministry that he preached the gospel concerning the kingdom. Mark says the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. And you can read hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Gospels regarding the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is likened unto, you know, 10 versions with a lamp. The kingdom of God is likened unto a man who found a pearl of great price. The kingdom of God is like, this is what he, and it was coming. It was coming. This is what he was doing. This is what he was teaching. And in his resurrected body with these men, he was continuing to speak regarding that which was coming. This is really neat. I want you to turn to, and we're just going to look at a couple real familiar verses in light of this. And I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And keep your finger in Acts. Gospel of John, chapter 3. And we're not going to read this whole record. Most of you are very familiar with this record. But this is the record of Nicodemus coming to Jesus Christ by night. And he says to Jesus Christ, you know, we know you're a teacher, you're come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered, doesn't really acknowledge what Nicodemus says in his answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we considered this verse last week. I want you to look down at verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's setting out pretty clearly regarding that requirement to be a part of or to enter the kingdom of God. Now, in chapter 4, we're just going to read a couple verses in this wonderful record. This is the record of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And she is speaking. He begins to speak to her. And I love this. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Isn't that something? If you knew the gift of God, Spirit, of course, is a gift of God, but Jesus Christ being there was also a gift from God to this woman. Isn't that something? If you knew who I was. I love it. I just love that record. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never, remember we looked at this verse some weeks back, and it means for never, ever, for eternity, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become a well of water springing up into the life of the age, everlasting life, that life of the age. Isn't that something? So he's talking about a life that he's giving that will spring up into this life of the age. I want to look also at verses 23 and 24, then we're going back to Acts. But the hour coming, the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, King James. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus Christ, all through the Gospels, is laying these things out. He's teaching. He's speaking about this kingdom of God and that it's coming. He taught his disciples, the Gospel of John, those records regarding the Comforter, what the comfort would be, how that he would send it, and that it was better that he go away. Or otherwise he couldn't send that Comforter. So all of these records. And here we are, right at it, And that's what we're reading in Acts 1, chapter 1. So let's go back there. Of course, I didn't put my ribbon there. God bless me. Anyway, Acts chapter 1. So again, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them. And I think most of you are aware this word assembled together comes from the word sunaliso. Heliso means to salt. And soon is together. Literally, this could be handled as salted together. Some translations translate it eating together. Okay, and when they would eat salted food, it was, you know, that which they were agreeing to, or that which was being discussed when they ate with salt, was binding. It was binding. And the agreement, which we're going to see laid out here, is that Jesus Christ would send the promise of the Father. And that the men were agreeing that they would tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Isn't that something? So being salted together, it just adds such sweet insight to that verse. Being salted together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me. You know, here he's giving these final instructions. For John, verse 5, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. You know, this is really remarkable. John baptized with water, which was a temporary thing. John, his ministry was to prepare a people for the Lord. And man, did he do it. He turned the hearts of the fathers to their children. Isn't that something? He prepared these people, and that water baptism was a part of that. It was a way to ceremonially cleanse something physical that they could participate in, because they were acknowledging and repenting of their sins. You know, and in doing that, they were recognizing the need for a deliverer. And it would be John the Baptist that would point out the Christ. See? So as important as that was, it was a very short time in preparation for what the Christ would do. You know, John, and you can read it, I was going to turn there, but you guys are familiar with these scriptures. There's a man coming after me, John said, whose shoes I am not worthy to unleash. He will come, he will baptize with Spirit and with fire, referring to a future time. That baptism with fire. Jesus Christ came to bring two baptisms. Now, it's baptism in Spirit. See? As a matter of fact, when Jesus Christ came to John, John said, no. It says he forbade him. Can you imagine? No! I have need to be baptized of you. Boy, Jesus Christ says, suffer it for now. Let all righteousness be filled. I love those records. John did it. You know, knowing who Christ was and the baptism that he came to bring. See? So John truly baptized with water. But what is going to happen here is so, so much greater. This is bringing life. You know, it's just huge. So John truly baptized with water. But you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And I wanted to take a couple of minutes with this verse. This was actually a very logical question, a question that makes absolute sense when you understand what the scriptures taught regarding the Christ, regarding the Messiah. Put a ribbon here, and we're going to just look at a few scriptures regarding this and what they knew to be true from God's Word. And I want you to turn to Genesis, book of Genesis. Genesis 49, near the end of the book. And you guys, I think, are familiar with this record. This is the record where Jacob is prophesying prior to his death. And he's there with Joseph. And we're going to look down at verse 10. And speaking of Judah, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Isn't that something? Of the people would gather unto this lawgiver, unto this who had that authority. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 23. We're just going to read a few. The scriptures are loaded with things regarding what they were asking about. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to look down at 5 and 6. It says in verse 5, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. We're just going to blow through some of these. Ezekiel 37, we're going to go down to verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'm reading the wrong section, but you know, this is regarding that time also. That's pretty good. I told you it's all over the place. Ezekiel 37, I was reading out of 36. Ezekiel 37, and David, verse 24, my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell on the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Isn't that something? Look at Zephaniah. It's the fourth from the last book. Easy to pass. Nope. Zephaniah, too far. Here we go. Zephaniah. We're going to look at chapter 3, verse 15. Chapter 3, verse 15. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, and he hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, The reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, said the Lord. Isn't that something? These are things that were promised in God's word, things that they were aware of as believers of Israel. You remember the record, the mother of James and John, right? She's you know, pulling for her sons. Hey, think my boys can sit on your right hand and left in your kingdom? Jesus Christ said, whoa, that's not mine to give. Not mine to give. But see, that's where their head was. They have been with the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body and seen him. There's a record where it says he appeared among 500 brethren at one time. See? And he was teaching and speaking concerning the things of the kingdom of God. He was the Lord. He was the promised seed. They knew it. Resurrected from the dead. See? That's right. This question that they're asking makes perfect sense. They just weren't realizing how this was going to go. Because God had something else prepared. Those things that they looked forward to will absolutely come to pass. So let's go back. Let's go back to the book of Acts. I better scoot along here. Mm-hmm. I love this stuff. Just how the word fits together. And just to understand some of the scope of God's word and what was happening at this time. So they ask regarding the kingdom of Israel. And he says in verse 7 unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power or authority. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. You know, verse 7, he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. That time will come. These things have been set by God. But for now, God has something really magnificent in mind. And you, because of this Spirit, are going to be witnesses. You know, when I first got in the Word, when I first understood some of these things, and the first time that I manifested Spirit, I mean, I was up for like 3 days. But the thing that got me, the thing that was just amazing to me, was that I had proof of Jesus Christ. I had proof that he was risen from the dead. It was like, oh my, this is true. This is true. See? It's that Spirit of God whereby we witness Jesus Christ. You know, we know he's alive. We know he's raised because we have the witness born within. And that was one of the things that Jesus Christ taught that Spirit, that Comforter, would do. See? It would testify of him. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus Christ says, look, this is what's coming. This is what's happening. They didn't fully understand things yet, but they were going to be sure we were going to be a part of it. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. In Luke, it says, as he was blessing them. These just last words to bless these men. And as he was blessing, a cloud received him and took him up. Isn't that something? And they just, he was, and they're looking up, you know. And then we have these two men that show up who were angels. And listen to this. This is so awesome. Because it's just so matter of fact, but it's because it's true. Which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go in to heaven." Then he says, "Now, do what you agreed to do." See? They return unto Jerusalem. Don't just stand here looking up. I love this record. You know, we could turn there real quick. We're going to come right back. I just want to do this. Look at the book of Zechariah, which I think is second to last. Zechariah. Right before Malachi. Oh, Lord, did I write it down? 14. This is regarding that day of the Lord, his coming in his glory, which is what the apostles had asked about, or the time they were asking about when he would restore the kingdom of Israel. Verse 1 of chapter 14, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, the women ravished, half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle," or in a day of battle, "and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley." Why stand you gazing up into heaven? He's coming back in the same manner. Isn't that something? I just love it because it's true. So these men go to Jerusalem. You can read in the Gospel of Luke where they were continually in the temple. Continually in the temple in prayer. And I want to pick this up in verse 1 of chapter 2. And we're not going to read this record. But I just want to show you one thing. It's I think it's awesome. I think it's amazing. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," you know, this day of Pentecost was in the process of coming, you know, since the time that Jesus Christ offered himself as the wave offering, the first fruits from the dead. That's something. In his resurrected body as high priest, first fruits from the dead. And that's when the counting began. See? Now the day of Pentecost was fully come. And that same Jesus Christ who presented himself as the first fruits from the dead would be the one that would pour out Holy Spirit, that life from God. That's amazing. Verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," they were all with one accord, they were one heart, one mind, that's that word, one accord, in one place. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them," unto the 12, they saw this, not everybody, but these men saw it, "cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." Sat upon each of them. I wanted to take just a minute with this because I think there's some significance here. I know there's some significance here because God doesn't do things haphazardly. John had alluded to Jesus Christ's two baptisms. That baptism in fire is in the future when he comes, as we read in some of those records, when he comes in judgment. It talks about with a fire that will be unquenchable. This is significant. There are a couple of records that I'm just going to story time here. We're not going to turn to them. Don't really have the time. But it'd be worth your while to take a look at them. One is in Leviticus chapter 9. And It is the time when Aaron, where the Levites, Aaron's line and Aaron himself, they were being consecrated as the priests. They were being set aside unto God to serve God as priests. And it was a week-long affair. I think it was about a week. At the end of it, they put there was a sin offering, but then there was a burnt offering. Very briefly, the burnt offering included the fat of the sacrifice, and it was a sweet-smelling savor. The closest I can liken it to is grilling really good steaks. But it was a sweet-smelling savor to God, and it represented something in the Old Testament, that burnt offering. Well, at that consecration of Aaron, at the end of it, they were in the tabernacle, and the burnt offering had been laid on the altar, and fire came down from heaven. And that burnt offering, it burned it, and that sweet-smelling savor was the next thing that happened. There's another record when the temple was being consecrated. And it's right after Solomon's prayer. It's in 2 Chronicles, and I think the prayer is in 6. In chapter 7, it says he finishes praying. He finishes praying. And the burnt offering was on the altar in the temple. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the temple. This is its consecration, just as we saw the beginning of Aaron's priesthood. And that burnt offering was on the altar, and fire came down out of heaven and lit that burnt offering. And it was a sweet-smelling savor. And then it says, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Filled it. Isn't that something? Here, on the day of Pentecost, this is the beginning of the church, the habitation of God, who dwells with us by Spirit. They saw tongues like as a fire. The next thing that happened was speaking in tongues, perfect praise to God. You think that was a sweet-smelling savor? Isn't that incredible? That's what God had in mind. This was the beginning of the kingdom of God. See? That's right. I think God's order, his word, it's magnificent when you get to see some of this stuff. Anyway. So there appeared unto them these 12 cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There are 15 different nations listed here who heard their language from these 12 men. That's right. And then it says in verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Perfect praise, declaring the wonderful works of God. That's something. It's just amazing. And that was, boom, first time. First time this happened. First men to receive this Spirit. First men to enter this kingdom of God. See? It's just, what a day. What a day. And this is what Jesus Christ was preparing these men for. And I tell you, Peter stood up. We're not going to read it, but Peter stood up. You know, and God just worked in him by way of that Spirit. And boy, he laid it out. He laid it out. And then you get down. Let's go down to verse 37. And we're going to close with this. Let's read verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were pierced in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? What do we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, is how it should read, and ye shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Isn't that something? You know, and every time I read this verse, and you guys have heard me say it 100 times, but I read this verse, and I think about, you know, when they were all gathered, and they were yelling, crucify him, crucify him. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. You know, but here God is saying, this gift is unto you and to your children. You know, what kind of love is that? Well, it's God's love. That's right. Then, verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were baptized. They were immersed. To be baptized means to be immersed. But it's speaking here of being immersed in spirit. See? Immersed in spirit. That which Jesus Christ came to make available. So that's what this day is. That's what this day was about. And it began this period of the grace of God. You know, and I'll tell you something else I think about. You know, we look back, and this is about 2,000 years ago. There's a wonderful verse in Peter where it says, you know, some men count the Lord as being slack. You know, where is this coming? Where is this coming? But it's out of the love of God that he's held off. You know, and I was talking to somebody about this, and I thought, you know, I used to just, man, just get here, Lord, get here, get here. And, you know, I'm not going to influence that decision, but I still felt that way. But, you know, right now, I got 5 grandchildren. They're going to be part of that gathering together. It's like, wow, I'm so thankful for God's long-suffering. See, as he continues to build this awesome church. It's really something. And those records that we read about, you know, regarding the Lord and the gathering back of Israel and all of those things, when so many of those things are going to be fulfilled, we're going to be with them. We're going to be there. So it's pretty remarkable. So that's what I wanted to share this morning. And I think I will close with a word of prayer.